Good morning, all. This is Chris Rutkowski. I'm the member of the Board of Counselors charged with hosting the monthly spiritual outreach call for members of the American Association, as well as those in the Federal and the Western Association of the Order of Malta. Today, we are very honored to have as our speaker Father Paul Hartman, who is a very accomplished gentleman. I could go through his CV, but that would take more time than we actually have allowed for tonight's call. Father Hartman is a graduate of Marquette University. He received his Master in Divinity from the St. Francis Seminary in St. Francis, Wisconsin in 1994, and received his pontifical licentiate in canon law in 1999 from the Catholic University of America. Father Hartman has had a number of positions and technical accomplishments. He has been a judge in the Illinois Provincial Appellate Tribunal in Chicago, Illinois. He was the judicial vicar in the Metropolitan Tribunal in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He has been pastor of St. Eugene Parish at Fox Point, Wisconsin, and currently is serving as the dean of the Ozaukee Milwaukee Northwest Deanery for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. Father Hartman has been a chaplain of the Order of Malta in the Milwaukee area since 2006. His topic for today, which is very appropriate in light of the upcoming Feast of Our Lady of Palermo in just a few days, the topic is the many titles of the Blessed Mother. And with that, I'll turn it over to Father Hartman.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris. And, you know, the only, yes, my CV is far too long, and the only correction would be in the church. Very few things become past tense. They just, new ones just keep getting added. So there are a number of hats that I wear right now. But one of my pleasures is the service that I offer to the Order of Malta and our local area. These coming days, like Chris said, in a few days we'll have the Feast of Our Lady of Palermo. September is traditionally dedicated to Our Lady of Sorrows. And on the horizon is October, one of the two great Marian months, along with May. And in October, the primary focus for that comes from the Feast of the Holy Rosary on October 7th. So much of who we are as a communal and an institutional church, while it flows from the sacraments that Christ instituted, and it flows from the creation and the creed that we have in the very fullness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a lot of who we are as an institution within the world, in the incarnate world, seems to always point us back to Our Lady, to Mary, the Mother of God. I think to better understand that, both in how we recognize her in so many varied ways today, but how we understand her role, we have to go back to that moment when we start the Hail Mary, the Annunciation by the angel Gabriel, the messenger of God. You know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. But remember how the story unfolded. She did not understand fully at first. She may not have ever fully understood, because she watched her son grow in wisdom and strength. She tried to impart her humanity to him and did successfully. But in that moment, the great moment which then followed with the Magnificat, I am the handmaid of the Lord, one of our great prayers as well, the thing that we often lose sight of is Mary had absolute and complete freedom. While she was immaculately conceived, because God understood what the future would hold and the salvation history which lay before us in our fallen state, he understood that Mary, to be that worthy vessel, had to be conceived without the stain of original sin. But that did not remove from Mary or withdraw from her her freedom. Just imagine for a second if that probably scared, trembling, unsure, overwhelmed teenage girl, being told that she was with child, though not yet married, never having known a man, that child would be the Son of God. Imagine if she just cringed and in that moment said, I don't want this. I can't do this. I'm not ready for this. Her freedom would have made that entirely possible, but she didn't. And she had no extra power to do that. She had no extra reality to make that decision in the way that now has transpired for the benefit of us all, she, in her full human freedom, brought to bear her fullness of human freedom and her fullness of human love and her fullness of human hope, and she brought that to bear in that moment of saying, yes, I will become the God-bearer. I will become the mother of the Son Most High. All of the titles that we begin to understand. So that transitional moment in salvation history was a full expression of her humanity. And I think that is the core of why Mary is so accessible and such an exemplar of how we live our Catholic faith today and find so many ways to point ourselves, to attach ourselves, to orient ourselves towards Mary, but not with Mary as the end, Mary as the entree, as the means, as the intercessor towards her Son. Let's take a moment and just consider a couple of the categories of titles. We have lists that go on. I mean, the most well-known is the Litany of Loretto, with approximately 20 titles given to Mary, but you just do some quick Google searches and different resources, you can easily come up with literally hundreds of titles that have been attributed to Our Lady. I want to talk about them in a couple of categories to help us understand why we can see in Mary so many varied things and what that means for us seeing those qualities, hopefully, in ourselves. Now, we know the titles of Mary that have to do with the events of her life, or the Marian feasts, the Annunciation, the Presentation, the Visitation, all of those moments within the scriptural history that teach us a momentary experience, Mary interacting with the angel Gabriel, Mary interacting with Elizabeth, her cousin, Mary's presence interacting with John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb. Then we have the different things within the life of Jesus. I believe the finding in the temple, while it is very Christological about Christ's transformation, his growth, his presence to the teachers of the Jewish law and of the Jewish book, but it was a Marian feast as well. It was a Marian feast to the extent that she and Joseph had to encounter that worry for the first time, that beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Simeon that her heart would be pierced, and those events. So we have titles under the events of her life. They are great teachable moments. We put them into stained glass windows. We put them into statues. We put them into paintings so we can constantly retell the stories as we walk the aisles of our churches, our cathedrals, our basilicas, retell the stories not only from Mary's perspective, but the stories of Jesus' life. So the events. The second category are truly those things that are the traits of Mary, the dogma that we've come to believe. Now, the two great ones of these, obviously, her Immaculate Conception, that determination by the Church that everything in our theology, everything in our understanding points to this reality, points to this truth. And then the second, the Assumption, these modern, somewhat modern, understandings, dogmatic understandings, magisterial understandings of Mary. So we have those great statements that are learned through church doctrine, that Mary was purified as a proper vessel and then was assumed into heaven, body and soul. Then we have the events of Mary's motherhood, her life, you know, the different encounters she had with her Son. Premier in that, again, in this month of September, we have Our Lady of Sorrows, the encounter with Jesus along the path of the way of the cross, at the foot of the cross. The different moments when we see her intense suffering and her grief at the passion and death of the Lord, but also the moments in earlier in his life when she had this moment of experience at Cana that she was satisfied that he had done well. Or even when we hear in the scriptures Jesus being told, your mother and your brothers are outside, but, you know, there must have been a part of her that was both a little, as a good Jewish mother, a little annoyed, but a little satisfied. He is doing what he is, what he must as the Son of God. So we have the titles that flow from Mary's motherhood. We have many titles, the fourth category, many titles that flow from Old Testament prophecy, that she is the fulfillment of so much that was read out to us in Isaiah, read out to us in the Song of Songs, read out to us even in Genesis. She is the new Eve. She is the one who carries the salvation, the bringer of the Messiah to us. Fifth category are all the wonderful ways that Mary is symbolized. She's the star of the sea. She is, you know, the queen of heavens, not just queen of heaven. That'll be a different way of understanding her, but the queen of the of heaven, the stars, that she, you know, she is our lady of the lakes. She is our lady of just places and symbolism that help us understand not only who she is, but also who Christ is alongside, or really she alongside of him. We have to have that understanding, that symbol that she shows us. She is the tabernacle. She is in many ways that holder of Christ. Then we have another category, the virtues that she represents, her multiple qualities, her immaculate heart, her purity, Our Lady of Chastity, Our Lady of, you know, patroness to marriage and to going into marriage. Then probably the most common thing that we know of, whether it's Palermo, whether it's Lourdes, whether it's Knock, Ireland, whether it's Fatima, the geographic presence. Now, this is really compelling because this is, I think, the fundamental basis how we've come to understand Mary touching us in so many ways, because she is fully human. She becomes fully present to us and fully accessible to us. Just think, though, how when she appears at Guadalupe, she is dressed as an Aztec peasant girl, even more importantly, a pregnant Aztec peasant girl. When she appears in different places around the world, the children, that is most often who the visionaries are or the apparitions are, see her in local dress or in local complexion of skin. She is accessible because she is present to us wherever people of faith are, wherever people are looking for her son. That brings us to the final category, that she is the intercessor to her son, the way to her son. Now, this is best exemplified in the mysteries of the Rosary, that she, in our prayer to her, our Hail Mary, our profession of faith, our Fathers and Glory Bees, our prayer of Fatima, she is then pointing us not to her. She doesn't allow it to be a focus on herself. It is never to be about Mary as the one who redeems us. It is her pointing to the one who redeems us, the one who saves us. And in that way, we encounter her in each mystery, prayer, then we encounter her son most importantly. Now, when the Second Vatican Council stated that the mother of Jesus, in the glory which she possesses, body and soul in heaven, is the image and the beginning of the church as it is to be perfected in the world to come, that great statement from now 60 years ago, almost 57 years ago, allows us to see the context of why it's worthwhile and important to offer each of these titles of Mary in all their varied ways, that there are moments, events in her life that we must always recognize, that there are qualities that are doctrinal that are necessary for us to understand not only her, but to understand her son. If she were not immaculately conceived, then Jesus somehow would not necessarily have been that different from any other child. That presence throughout her motherhood, oh, that is what is so accessible to all of us. How sad for a person in this world, an orphan who doesn't understand well motherhood, who then just can't grasp what Mary is for us as a universal church. That fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and that new covenant of the New Testament, that new covenant in Christ, and all the symbols. These are great things we've done as Catholics. You know, when we see Christological symbols in so many things, we see Marian symbols in a rose, in just the, you know, the whole sense of that caring for the children, the downtrodden, all of the symbols that allow us to best access Mary and her son, her virtues that give us guidance, that give us example, her strength in sorrow, her good hope, her good presence, and her good kindness. go through the titles very easily. The Litany Loretto is a wonderful thing. I just want to, as we get prepared to finish this morning and look ahead these days to Our Lady of Palermo, to this month of Our Lady of Sorrows, to October's celebration of the Rosary, but just think of those core statements of Mary in the Litany of Loretto. I'll quickly recite them for you. Help of Christians, Queen of Angels, Queen of Patriarchs, Queen of Prophets, Queen of Apostles, Queen of Martyrs, Queen of Confessors, Queen of Virgins, Queen of All Saints, Queen conceived without original sin, Queen assumed into heaven, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, Queen of Families, and Queen of Peace. The litany finishes then with actually some Christological, because that's the way Mary wanted it, that in our discovery of her, we are pointed to and oriented to her Son. In her humanity, we find that humanity can be redeemed, can be lifted up. We find in her the promise of not only conception and birth, of birth in created order, but we find in her the promise fulfilled of the assumption, of the resurrection, that we will be bodily, that we will have a bodily presence in heaven. As we finish our time this morning, I offered part of the Litany of Loretto. I want to finish, as a prayer. I want to finish with something that I learned at the knee of my mother as I was a child, the Memorare, one of the greatest prayers of the Church, following the Lord's Prayer, following the Hail Mary. I really do think this is profound for what it says about us and about Mary. So let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. May God's blessings be upon all who have joined into this and are joined to the work of the Order of Malta. God's blessings in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Father Paul. You know, after all those titles, it somehow seems there's still not enough. Something you said the very beginning. I mean, you said
every need
beginning.
That we have, every need that we have, she can intervene and help with, and that can be a title of her.
Yeah. And you mentioned that she had the freedom to say no. But she said yes, and that made all the difference. All the difference.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much, Father Paul. I'd like to remind everyone. If you are on the call and you have friends or family who are not able to make the call live this morning, please remember that these calls are recorded and are available on the website. And as Father Paul mentioned, next month is another month dedicated to our Blessed Mother Mary, typically dedicated to the month of the Rosary. And our topic for next month, Spiritual Outreach Call, is what makes the Rosary so powerful. So please join us October 2nd, the first Wednesday of October at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. For that talk, I appreciate all of you joined this morning. I thank Father Paul for those wonderful comments, giving us so much to think about and pray about in the weeks to come. And have a blessed day to everyone. Thank you.